So we are on, I only handed out one thing to you guys today. We're going to go through a couple of slides, but there's not too much in these that's not really on here. This is fundamental belief number 15. This is the promises to Abraham. We're not going to get too, you're already smiling. I know what you guys agreed earlier, we're not going to get into too much of the details of the worth and wealth of the United States and the British Isles. I don't know. Kyle and James, is it awkward? So it's not awkward from the standpoint of it, these promises are honestly opened up to everybody in the world, which is why we have multiple nations here. There are a couple countries who have been overly blessed because of these promises of where the generations and the lineage have traveled to, where they moved to. But as far as the big promise of being called part of God's family, it's open to everyone. They're looking small scale, though, of how we live today and what we have in our countries and those types of things. That's this thing that they said they're not going to talk about. All right. So this is our statement. This is our actual fundamental belief for the promises to Abraham. This is, like I said, number 15. The fundamental belief is we believe in God's enduring righteousness. That righteousness is demonstrated by God's faithfulness in fulfilling all the promises he made to the father of the faithful, Abraham. As promised, God multiplied Abraham's lineal descendants so that Abraham literally became the father of many nations. We believe that God, as promised, materially prospered Abraham's lineal descendants, Isaac and Jacob, whose name he later changed to Israel. We believe that God, through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ, is making salvation available to all humanity, regardless of physical lineage. So that's kind of what we got back to your initial question, Kayla. It's open to everyone. It truly is. Salvation is not, therefore, a right of birth. It is freely open to all whom God calls. And those who are regarded as descendants of Abraham are those of the faith, heirs according to the promises. We believe that the knowledge that God has fulfilled and continues to fulfill the physical promises made to Abraham and his children, and that he is fulfilling the spiritual promise through Jesus Christ. It is critical to understanding the message of the prophets and its application to the world. So we're going to walk through these points and hit them. So I'm only taking bits and sections of this slide, the PowerPoint. That's why I didn't give you everything, so you can ignore that one. So number one, we believe in God's enduring righteousness. So we have a couple of scriptures that we can look at. But just your initial thoughts. What comes to mind when we're talking about God's enduring righteousness? Thinking about these promises that he made to Abraham, which we'll actually get into the promises and we'll walk through those. But what do you guys think initially? So we believe in God's enduring righteousness. What does that bring to mind? What do you think about? Julia?
I mean, I guess in terms of what we're talking about, God's enduring righteousness would imply that a righteous person would keep their promises. And so I could kind of see it as enduring righteousness is an enduring promise. So it's a promise that's not going to be broken and that's secured.
Okay, that's a good approach looking at this. Nathan?
He always has kept his promises. He still does, and he will always continue to. And that's just his character.
Yeah, and that's another aspect of it. Right in the middle, you talked about continue to keep those promises, right? So we'll get into that. Some of these promises have been either partially fulfilled or we can see where it's leading, but not everything has come to fruition yet, right? There's still some promises that we're waiting on. It doesn't mean they're not going to happen, but we know that we can trust in him, and we know that in long term, he is going to bring those to reality. It's going to come to occur. So let's take a look at, turn over to Psalm with me, Psalm 111. This gets right down to the core of this enduring righteousness. Psalm 111. We read verses 3 through 5, it says, "Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth." That's the wrong one. That's why it's not making sense. All right, that's 1:10. 1:11, if you look at verse 3, it says, "His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." That's exactly what we're talking about, right? This compassion, this enduring righteousness. He has loved the humankind so much that he's made these promises, that he's going to make sure that they come to reality, that they're actually going to hold. We don't have to ever question whether or not we'll see the end results, because he's guaranteed those. And we've seen bits and pieces of those along the way. If we flip back a little bit to 1:19, we'll look at two of the verses back here. Psalm 1:19 and verse 142. That one reads, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." And if you drop to 44, it says, "The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." So that's kind of where we're at right now, right? We have an opportunity now to enjoy this righteousness, this truth that it's talking about. He has given us a doorway. God the Father has called us, opened our eyes so that we have an opportunity to understand this path that we're on, understand these promises that have been made. That's what this first aspect of this fundamental belief is alluding to, is that it's going to hold strong. He is compassionate and he's loving. And that's why he's done this. So point number two, that righteousness is demonstrated by God's faithfulness in fulfilling all the promises. Fulfilling all the promises. Flip back to Titus 1, verse 2. Anybody know? Actually, it may have been a memory scripture. Did you guys do Titus 1? Yeah, that is it. You may have not done that one. So it's God cannot lie. His promises, every single one of them, every single one of his promises will be fulfilled. We can hold fast to that. It gives us comfort, right? We can have comfort in that of itself, knowing that it is actually going to happen. It will be true. So God made a couple different promises to Abraham, right? We're going to walk through these. I have seven of them up on the board, I think. Yeah. So there's seven of them sitting up there in front of you. But before we actually start walking through some of those, who's the deceiver of the world right now? Is it Satan? Yeah. So God is doing everything he can to be the exact opposite of that. We never have to question or wonder what he's doing, why he's doing it. He's laid out this entire plan, and he's following through on it. He's following through on all of his promises that he's made. One of these promises that he made to Abraham, it's back in Hebrews. If you turn back to Hebrews 6, we'll read 13 through 17. Hebrews chapter 6. Starting in verse 13, it says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiply, I will multiply you.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for the confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus, God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath." We're never deceived by God. We're not stuck. We understand that, you know, some of these promises have happened, but not all of them. Not all dimensions of every aspect of his promises have been fulfilled. That's what some people get tripped up on. That's where they get stuck. And they say, God's not following through with different things. But he is. It's his path. It's his plan. They can't see past our human nature of getting caught up of, we want answers now. We need to see solutions now. Point number three. I've got only one scripture for this. So, point three, if you turn to Romans while I read this. Romans chapter 4 says, he made to the father of the faithful Abraham. He made to the father of the faithful Abraham. Romans 4, this is 11 through 21. We won't read all of it. If I remember which sections I wanted to pull out. So let's go ahead and start with 11. Now, I'll read that one later. If you drop down 13, it says, for the promises that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void to the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. And then 16, therefore, it is of the faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That's where it started. We've been able to be in the positions we are now because of the decisions that Abraham did and the relationship that Abraham had with God. God made those promises to him because he is the father of the faithful. So I don't have much more on that one, but let's look at point number four. It says, as promised, God multiplied Abraham's lineal descendants so that Abraham literally became the father of many nations. So this is where we get into the actual promises. There we go. Says Genesis chapter 12. This is where we start with the first promise. It says, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse you. I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is an astounding statement. Right? This is astounding. Think about the relationship that has to be there between God and Abraham to make a statement like this. What do you guys think? What do you guys think of this? Your father's household. So he's just going to a land that I will show you. How much faith does it take to uproot everything you know and follow God? Yeah, it absolutely is. It absolutely happens that same exact way when somebody comes to the truth. Because the world doesn't see it the way we do they? That means they may have to give up jobs, which may lead to a physical relocation. They can't find a job where they're living now. They're going to have to move somewhere. But just that initial instinct of their world is flipped upside down. And sometimes those people don't know where they're going after that. Just kind of like Abraham was. He was told, hey, I'm going to show you this land. You're going to go there. He says, I will make you great. He said, I'll bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. But what's that very last little bit on there? All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. James and Paula, you can feel some satisfaction through this, right? This includes everybody. This isn't countries. This isn't tribes, small groups. It says all peoples on earth, every single person on earth will be blessed through. through you. How does that work? Caleb.
Is it referring just to physical or spiritual as well? Because, of course, Christ is a descendant of Abraham. So are we? How do we prove that we can take it physically, I guess?
Yeah, we'll get in. So that's going to be an aspect of it, but that's a good question. So has the entire world seen some sort of physical blessings? You guys are still, you're allowed to talk just because you don't want to debate. That's a very good point. Paula?
Since it says promises to Abraham, some people may say, oh, it's promises to the Jews. So it might also say it's all the people, so that people won't say it's only the Jews. It's all religions and all heritages.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because they do need to distinguish, right? Because we do understand that it's not the Jew. We aren't Jewish, are we? That's not what we are. Sometimes we get called that. All growing up, I got called that. But that's not what we are. Charlie.
Also, like the physical aspect, like different countries will like make alliances with each other. For example, like America might be in alliance with Israel, and they work together and they collaborate things together, and they might get the same blessings as well because they are collaborating together.
Yeah.
Like South Africa and America can be good alliances, and they get along well, so therefore they kind of eat off each other's plate.
Absolutely.
So to speak.
Technological advances in the United States. Have other countries benefit from that? Have we been able, as a country, to reach out to areas who have been devastated by, whether it's some random natural act of nature, or whether it's wars? I mean, these technological advances that our country's been blessed with doesn't just be confined to the United States. We've taken it and we've reached out. After the world wars, we rebuilt countries. We had the capacity to do that. Those are blessings. Those are blessings that are spread out to the entire world, right? So those are physical blessings, right? Those would be a physical aspect. But yeah, on a much deeper note, we'll get into that spiritual aspect. Because that's what it all is truly boiling down to, right? This spiritual aspect of the lineage of Abraham and what it leads to. And what we receive because of that. So this close relationship that Abraham had with God. Do you guys ever think of God as being your friend? How close do you feel to God at your very highest point? Do you feel like he's a friend right there? Like a buddy? It's hard, isn't it? Because he's not there, physically sitting next to us. Yeah, Emily?
This might sound kind of silly, but sometimes little things will happen in my life. Where, like the other day, I was trying to decide when to come back because it's not as Columbus, like want to be okay or not. And I was like, man, if it wasn't so sunny out, I'd probably just go home, go back to Cincinnati. And literally, a second after I felt that,
sun pop out. Yeah, you can use that as the closeness. Flip back to James real quick. James chapter 2. Somebody want to read verse 23 for me? It's one verse. James 2, 23. All right, go ahead, Julia. Julie, sorry.
And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed, and it was accounted for him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
He was called the friend of God. That's huge. That shows a huge connection. And it helps us to understand these promises. You ever promised a friend something? You always follow through on that, right? There's nothing that you would do to break that bond. God did the same thing with Abraham, right here, starting with this first promise. So this is just a quick map. When we were going through the Pentateuch, Dr. Dunkel talked about the path that he had. So just a little while back, we talked about having the faith to just leave the land, right? So this shows that path, the dedication it would have taken to uproot your entire family and go to where God said. There wasn't a nice direct path, but he still followed through. He still did it. Because they had that close relationship. They had that bond. Abraham had that faith to realize that God was going to follow through. So he trusted enough. He trusted enough to be led out. Second promise, Genesis 13, 14 through 16. Here's just a couple bits of it. It says, "And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him," then you skip through, says, "all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth." And then promise number 3 is really similar. It says Genesis 15, and then verse 5, and then also verse 18. I've got to pull that one up for you. It says, "Count the stars, if you are able to number them, so shall your descendants be. On the same day of the Lord... On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." God has promised some really big things, right? He's making some really big physical promises of where they're going to live, how blessed they're going to be. Is there any question? These have all been fulfilled, right? Abraham got to see these blessings. Were there blessings he didn't get to see? His descendants, yeah. Did he see descendants as there are stars? Do you think he had trouble comprehending that at that time? Is that something that would be, he'd probably been taken back by and not really be able to comprehend? I mean, right now we have what, 7.5 billion people in the world? Something around there?
How big the earth really was at that time either.
Yeah, I highly doubt they understood how big the earth really was. Yeah, that's a good point. But this makes a lot more sense to us. These promises that were made, it helps us to understand. Promise number 4, Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 and then 6 through 7. Here's a pieces of that. It says, "You shall be a father of many nations, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants for an everlasting covenant." An everlasting covenant. It's funny, I have there's an extra copy of the covenant chart just hanging out up here. So we just kind of went over that, right? That covenant that Mr. Myers went through and explaining how there's been a covenant that has carried on for all the way through, right? From the very beginning. We know through some of the other doctrines, God had set out a plan to save mankind before we were ever created, right? You guys remember going through that stuff? Going through how that decision had to be made before we were actually created. So we have this everlasting covenant. One of the cool things, let's see which Yeah, I don't have it on here. So Abraham had his name changed, right? So it was changed from Abram. I have the two meanings. So Abram means exalted father. Abraham is father of a multitude. So there's a significant change there. So the last two promises that we've talked about, number 2 and 3, got into the number and the magnitude of how many descendants were going to be coming. Here, we're talking about how long it's going to last. How long it's going to last and what it's extending to. Promise number 5. Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 through 19. It says, Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. At the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So this goes back to what we touched on in the beginning about Kayla's question of physical blessings. Have all countries been blessed? And it says, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Again, we know the bigger meaning behind that is going to be in the long term, that spiritual blessing in the long run. That's the primary part of this. But all countries will be blessed or have been blessed to some extent physically. Promise number 6, Genesis chapter 21, 1 through 3. It says, the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken and bore Abraham a son in his old age, called Isaac. That's Genesis chapter. We can also see that, I think, in Genesis 26, 1 through 4. Talks about Isaac, if you want to put that in your notes. This is all stemming, right? This is all, we can follow these promises. We can trust in the promises, because we can see each of these being fulfilled so far, right? We've seen how many people have been blessed, the different nations that have been blessed throughout the world. We understand there's still this everlasting covenant because there's still people following it, right? All of this stemmed from this one relationship between God and Abraham. So this last promise, I don't know why it's, there we go. Genesis chapter 22. If you look at Genesis 22, in verses 16 through 18. It says, and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiply, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. You have obeyed my voice. So we start getting into this idea of this multitude of nations, right? Talks about all the earth. Turn back to Genesis chapter, let me find in my notes. Genesis 35. If you look at Genesis 35 real quick. There's a slight difference in the wording between the two, Ephraim and Manasseh. So Genesis 35, verses 9 through 11. So starting in 9, it says, then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Also, God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. So that's where we've come to understand that of our Ephraim and Manasseh prophecies. So it says a nation as well as a company of nations, right? What do you guys think of when you hear that? Do you guys remember all the way back at the beginning of the year when you did your 100-question pre-doctrines test? You don't remember? Okay. So there's a question on there talking about Ephraim and Manasseh and what current countries represented them. James? So that you're talking about the English-speaking nations? So it actually gets more specific than that. So what we've come to understand is a nation. Do you guys remember who was blessed? Who was supposed to be the greater of the two brothers? All right, let's start with who is oldest? Manasseh, right. So Manasseh was the firstborn, then Ephraim. So what happened when Jacob went to bless him? Switched his hands, right? Switched his hands. And they tried to correct it, right? He's like, no, you're wrong. And then we understand that he was given a greater blessing to the younger, not the older. So this nation, we've come to understand that the United States represents this nation. We are a nation. A company of nations, we have to come to understand, is the British Empire. At one point, does anybody know what they said about the British Empire? The sun never sets on the British Empire. You know why they said that? It's because they own territory all over the world. So they deem that as never having the sun officially set, because somebody always had the actual middle of the day sun on the British Empire, because they had such a vast amount of territory. They're not quite as powerful as they once were. But if you look out throughout history at how dominant the British Empire is, the magnitude and the impact they've had on the world is more significant than what the United States has. How long have we been a country? Technically 1700s. So that's small scale compared to what the British Empire has been around and how dominant they've been. So that's why we understand this as being, they are the company of nations. That's what encompasses this company of nations, is because they had such a vast array of territory and the far-reaching extents of where they controlled. Does that make sense to everybody? All right, so point number 5 of our fundamental belief says we believe that God has promised materially prospered Abraham's lineal descendants, Isaac and Jacob. Oh, I should have pulled that up for you a minute ago. So this is what we just discussed. I'm sorry, Julie. You should have said something. It wasn't up there. So this is what we went through. We going through the lineage and showing the division down. And that's why we just talked about the differentiation between the nation and the multitude of nations. So then we get to this material prospered. Material prospered. Have they always prospered? This should give a hint away. Yeah. What happened in Egypt? When Joseph was there, did they prosper? For a while, right? But then what happened? Yeah. They prospered overly in Egypt up to a point. Yeah, Emily.
They prospered so much that the Egyptians got scared and then they had to enslave them.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the prospering that they got scared of, or it was the multiplying. The multiplying is what scared them worse, I think. Just the number of people. But yeah, they did get scared because they prospered. They saw what was leading, and they terrified them. They were outnumbered. But what's it lead to? It led to enslavement, right? Does that seem like prospering? Do you guys view prospering when you're thinking about being enslaved for 400 years? No? Where does this lead, though? God still fulfill his promise? What happened? Where did it go from here? Yeah. It goes back to that land that he promised, right? That was a promise. This land was promised, right? He's still fulfilling those promises. What did they do when they left Egypt? What were they given? Do you remember what? So as slaves, you don't have much, right? Yeah. They didn't even have to plunder them. The Egyptians gave it to them. Yeah. They said, get out of here. Here, take this and go. So they quickly started getting back into these physical blessings again, right? This immediate response of deciding to, God worked out this plan to get them out of slavery. They had trouble always staying on track with following God's way, but they were working, right? He had to let an entire generation die out. But they were still a committed people of understanding what they needed to do. There were flaws in it, but they worked. So we see this continuous path of nations and people being blessed and benefiting from God's promises. Genesis chapter 49 explains blessings that transferred down to the 12 tribes. These 12 sons, it was passed down to Abraham's great-great-grandchildren. Is that where it stopped? Was that the extent of it? Was that the extent of the prosperity? The 12 tribes in Israel? Or do we continue to see it? Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, starting in verse 15. 16, verse 15. Says, remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac. Everlasting covenant. Do we have any doubt that the covenant and the promises that were given to Abraham are going to fall apart? We don't ever have to question it, do we? We don't have to question it. It's going to be an everlasting covenant. Flip back to Psalms chapter 89, too. Psalm 89, I think this explains. Yeah, starting in verse 3 of chapter 89, it says, I've made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. So back in Chronicles, it said for 1,000 generations. And then here, it carries on and just says to all generations. To all generations. It's not going to stop. So this picture here, you can see enough of it. So this is the golden age of Israel, okay? So that left section over there, that shows modern day Israel, what it is today and the size of it. So the little bit lighter yellow color that reaches all the way up to Tefash, and then goes all the way down towards the Arabian Desert, that shows what King Solomon, that shows the territory that he had. So thinking about those material blessings, it was huge back then, right? We've all heard the story about how wise Solomon was and how powerful and rich that Queen of Sheba came to him wanting to ask him a question about his wisdom. Once she got there, she was amazed. She's amazed because it wasn't even justified. It says, "Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I have heard." So there's no doubt that throughout history, there's been material blessings. We can still see it today. We still see it in our countries today. Even if you don't live in the United States, you guys all have blessings. You have blessings. You're able to transport over here for education. You're able to go back home whenever you're ready. There's blessings in that, right? Yeah. We've all been blessed. We're almost out of time. I'll do one last one. Or not. All right. So we'll pick up on point number 6.